All right, let's go. Got a short teaching today. It's not a long teaching. It's not a shouting message, but it's something that will level the playing field for all of us, no matter where you are in Christ. It's going to level the playing field. Amen? And speaking of leveling the playing field, they didn't have to go to New York and win. I don't know if anybody's upset that the Knicks won. I'm not really I didn't have a dog in the fight. Raise your hand if you enjoyed that the Knicks won. You glad the Knicks won? Raise your hand if you don't care who won. How many just want another W in your life? Raise your hand. You're tired of taking the L's. And so, but I'm happy for the Knicks. Yep. But I did kind of want that 7'8" giant to win because he's so young. But I don't know what happened the other night. Did y'all watch the other night? Let me get to this teaching. Lord, you're so good, and your mercy endures forever. Speak to us in this moment. Encourage our hearts, encourage our minds. Yet again, get the glory out of what we say and do. There's somebody in this room that needs a touch from you, that needs a miracle, that needs peace that surpasses all understanding. And we know we will absolutely be able to get that peace from your word, from your will, from your way. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for making this make sense in the time we have together. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. So it is Mental Health Month. Last week, I didn't know it was Mental Health Month. So this week, I'm ready for it. So much, I got a graphic on here. You see the two men under where the A's supposed to be. They look quite boastful, don't they? They look quite sure of themselves. And so what we're going to talk about today has something to do with those two images. It's going to make sense in a minute. But how are you going to talk about mental health without having the conversation? You got to have the conversation about the immaterial. Everybody say immaterial. Immaterial. You have to have a conversation about the unseen. Everybody say unseen. Unseen. If you're going to talk about mental health, you see the word men? This is our time. Men, let's say it's our time. It's our time. It's our time to shine. Mother's Day was last month. This is Father's Day. This is Father's Day month. But you can't talk about mental health without talking about the metaphysical, the unseen, the immaterial. It is more to Alpheus than meets the eye. Look at somebody say, it's more to me than meets the eye. Because the metaphysical affects the physical. The unseen affects the seen. There's something going on the inside of us that's affecting what you see on the inside. We can't talk about mental health without talking about the immaterial. The immaterial. I know what you see out here. I know you see the tie I wore it for you guys 2 times a year. The immaterial explains the exterior. Don't believe me. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him what? In spirit and in truth. Write this down for me, all right? I forgot my flip chart, but we'll just speed through this. A healthy mind equals a healthy man. A kingdom mind equals, you can about fill in the blanks after I go through two of these. A kingdom mind equals a kingdom man. A rested body equals a rested man or a woman. A healthy mind equals a healthy man. A balanced mind equals a balanced man. A double-minded person or double-minded man equals a what? A man that is unstable in all his ways. A sound mind equals a what? A sound man. 2 Timothy 1:17 says, I got it for you today, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a what? A sound mind. A sound mind equals a what? A sound man. Sound right here in 2 Timothy 1:17. Everybody say sound. Everybody say sound. It comes from a Greek word. I'll try to pronounce it again. I kind of practiced this. Sophronismos. All right. Why are we talking all this Greek talk anyway? By the way, the Greek and the Hebrew talk is so we don't build anything off of English assumptions. Does that make sense? Because we know the Bible was written in Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. Because misinterpretations lead to misunderstandings, and we don't want a misunderstanding, right? So we want to make sure we always lift the Greek or the Hebrew when we can, all right? I'm doing the best that I can. But everybody say sound mind. A sound mind comes from a Greek word, sophronismos. And that word basically means, so a sound mind is a disciplined mind that is sober. Everybody say sober. Everybody say balanced. It's self-controlled, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. Get the song out. It's coming out next month. On the end of next month, it'll be, you'll be able to download it. Just kidding. Everybody say self-control. A sound mind is a mind that is self-controlled and is capable of wise judgment. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. It is not controlled by fear. It's not controlled by panic. It's not controlled by ego. It's not controlled by impulse. But it's somebody that thinks clearly. The enemy does not want us to think clearly. I'll be 45 in about a month or two. And I pretty much can basically say that the enemy is after, not after my feet. He's not after my hands. He's not after my knees. He's after my mind. Does that make sense? I mean, he is after my mind because he know he cannot unconvert Alpheus. So he's trying to pollute Alpheus. He's trying to confuse Alpheus. He's trying to throw Alpheus off. Anybody else other than me in this room that knows the enemy tries to throw you off? Yeah. But let's throw him off today. Amen. We got something for him today. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Sophronismos, a sound mind. A sound mind. Not on impulse. Thinks clearly, responds wisely, and remains under the control of not Jack Daniels, not Budweiser. We remain under the control not of weed. We remain under the control not of filet mignon, not of a hamburger. Amen. I got to come down your row. We remain under control not of sweet potato cake. Amen. Not under control of the almighty dollar. Under control of the Holy Spirit. Not of TikTok. Not of CSN. I can't. You know I don't even watch. I can't even say it right. CNN or the news. The Bible also says, write this down in James 1:8. James 1:8. James 1:8. James 1:8. You can turn there. I don't have it on the screen for you today. James 1:8. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Everybody say mental health. Everybody say mental health. The word double-minded. I give you one more Greek word. I'll do the best as I can. It's called dipsukos. Dipsukos. Everybody say dipsukos. A little Greek lesson. It literally means you're double-minded. It means two-minded. It means two-souled. It means two persons in one. That sounds very, very, very confusing, right? It describes a person who is divided between two loyalties, two opinions, and two directions. It's hot and cold trying to figure out how we're going to cohabitate in the same body. That makes sense? Do you like your potato salad hot or cold? Yell it out. Who likes it? Some people kind of like it when it comes off. Come right off. You know, I'll take it. Maybe I'll take it hot some days. Or maybe I'll take it cold. What I'm displaying before you guys is a double-minded person. Do you want your potato salad hot or cold? Choose ye this day who you're going to serve. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive. Everybody say no one. No one. This is. Every bit to do with the metaphysical or the immaterial. See that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. What's philosophy? It's immaterial. It's wisdom. It's ideas. It's irreverent babble. It's messages according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and do and not according to Christ. So the enemy is after our mind. He's after getting us confused with deceit, captive by philosophy. He's trying to not lock you up physically. He's trying to lock your mind up. Amen. Everybody say, we got something for him today, though. And you knew it. This is the fourth time I'm going to talk about this, and we're going to talk again today. Shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. The first week, we talked about flexing or the reflexing on mental and physical attacks. Week two, we talked about getting our PhD. PhD stands for what? Power to handle the devil, or our PhJ, power to handle this journey. And the Holy Ghost will help us with the journey. Week three, we talked about anybody checked on Paul. Remember that? All right. Did anybody checked on Paul? Because Paul was able to shake off some things. But have you checked on Paul lately? This week, did you check on some of the strong people in your life? Did somebody check on you? I got like an hour before service, and me and Lex got a text, and somebody did check on us. They actually invited us to lunch. Doesn't it feel good for somebody to check on you? He's like, Lex saw the text message, and they said, you know, we're just checking on you guys. And by the way, we're going to Yard House after church at 3 o'clock. So y'all know where we may be at 3 o'clock. Where are we going to be at 3 o'clock? But somebody checked on us. Who's checking on the strong people? So week three, Paul had it going on. He shook it off, but who's checking on Paul? And then today we're going to shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. But what are we shaking off today? It just happened to be, of course I knew this, it just happened to be Pride Month. But we're talking about, this is not why I'm talking about this today, but we may talk about it, we may address it, because we got to address it, amen? Because the Bible is true. But we're shaking off pride. Acts 28, just in case you were not here, Acts 28 verse 3 says, this is the compressed view. This is after Paul was on a beautiful island called Malta, and he was shipwrecked, and he got off the ship, and he started a fire. There was a fire that started. A viper came out of the fire, came out of the heat, and fastened on his hand, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Shake it off is basically code for casting out. I won't read all of these. Breaking free. Everybody say, let's break free. Resisting false messages. Everybody say, shake it off. Breaking cycles. Getting control of runaway thoughts. Said that last week. Mastering the unseen. Mastering the unseen, and then resisting pride. Good old pride. Ooh, pride. I want to talk about my blue tie so much, but I ain't going to talk about it. Because if I talk about my blue tie today, I'll be prideful. You know what I mean? Because I only wear it like two times a year. And so I'm not going to talk about. Because when I left the house this morning, I had a house full of people, nieces and nephews and aunts and sister-in-law. And I came out of the bedroom, and I wanted to just put a sheet over me because I knew how I looked before they saw me. But then when they confirmed it when I came in the room, they said, oh, you clean today. I said, don't do it, because I'm going to talk about the P word today. And so they, oh, you got the white on white. I said, please don't gas me up. I'm not on empty. And gas is coming down. Ain't gas coming down? Clap your hands. I don't know why it's coming down, but gas is coming down. I filled up, and it was a few dollars less than the other week. All right. Y'all not happy about gas coming down? Okay. With your rich self. You saying, after you talking about me with my rich self, you need to talk about you with your prideful self. Would you take that tie off if God told you? Yes, I would. But I wouldn't have nothing for this mic. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way. A whole month called Pride Month, and you got scriptures like this talking about how you should approach pride. That's a very scary place to be, where you're unaware of what the implications of the word pride. It's quiet in here. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone that is proud in what? Not with what you see, but proud on the inside. There's only an outside pride if you have an inside pride. Make sense?
Yeah.
It's only an outside pride if you have an inside pride. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I wrote another kid's song. This is not kid's song Sunday, but it says, the lower you go, the higher you go, the lower you go, the higher you go, the lower you go, the higher you go, the lower you go, the higher you go. That's been my life. This has been my whole testimony, my entire 45 years. Got a call this week, and I know it's because of me trying to keep going low, because this call is where it's almost like the scripture being played out this week in my life. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. In due time. Everybody say due time. Because you got to be ready to win the series. That makes sense? Because when you win the series, all the attention is on you. We see if the players give God the glory for life, health, and strength to win the series. Let me go through this really quick. All right. The acronym for pride. Forgot my flip chart, but I'll bring it next time. The P is, just write this down. I'll go through all of these, and I may go back, and I may not go back, because I want to get to something else today. The P is when you have a problem with God. The P in pride stands for having a problem with God. How dare Alphaeus have a problem with the creator of the universe? How do I play God? How dare do we play God? The R in pride stands for replacing the truth with lies. The R in pride stands for replacing the truth with lies. The I in pride stands for I. Me, myself, and I. Because it's so tricky, because in Isaiah 14, you have the father of lies, the father of pride, Satan himself, Isaiah 14. Maybe let's turn there just real quick. I don't have it on the screen. Isaiah 14, the I in pride stands for me, myself, and I. This is hitting me before it's hitting you. Amen. So don't think I'm talking to you guys. For you have said in your heart, Isaiah 14:13. For you have said in your heart, this is the enemy talking. This is Satan talking. I will ascend into heaven. Everybody say I. The I in pride. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Okay, really, Satan? I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. Y'all see how many eyes have you counted so far? Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. That's four eyes. I will be like the Most High. Not made in his image, but this is some proud type stuff that Satan is on. He's on that proud tip. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And that is basically the fruit of I. Too many eyes will get you. Verse number 15. Everybody say avoid. Verse number 15. Either kind of like what mama said, hey, you get that smirk off your face or what? Get that smirk off your face, or I'm going to knock that smirk off your face. Mama ever told you that in this room? Daddy ever told you that? You humble yourself, or I'm going to humble you. We're trying to avoid verse number 15. The D in pride stands for when our decisions are ignoring God's way, or we decide to ignore God's way. That's pride. Because how dare do we, pride is basically that I can also be, I got it. Ouch, Alphaeus. I got it. No, don't worry about it. I got it. Alphaeus, why are you saying I got it? Because I got it. Don't worry about it. I got it. Because there's something in us. There's a difference between a man doing his manly duties, for lack of better words, and saying, I got it, to prove a point that he does not have to prove. It's Mental Health Day. Can I just vent? Y'all be on the chair today. y'all ain't condemning me. Y'all ain't judging me. You can judge me. The E in pride stands for elevating the flesh. The E in pride stands for elevating the flesh. Pride comes from a word, a Hebrew word. And it looks like you should say rum, but we're trying to be sober. But the proper way to say it is, if you want to write it down, room. That is the alliteration, or the best way to say it, R-U-M. Okay, translated from a word that means to be high and lifted up. Whenever you hear the word pride, think high and lifted up. Think exalt oneself. Think to be high. It's another Hebrew word that pride comes from. Everybody say pride. Y'all stay with me if you can. It refers to presumption. It refers to arrogance. It refers to willful rebellion. It refers to the act of being defiantly against God. Pride against God. Pride arrogant. Pride presumptuous. Pride insolence. A whole month of pride. It's quiet in here. 2 Corinthians 12:7. This is kind of what I really want to get to, and then I'll be finished. Y'all okay? I'm trying to avoid verse 15. 2 Corinthians, we're talking about Paul, who basically is one of my new heroes in the Bible. He keeps coming right next to Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ is my hero. Amen. Moses is that dude, but this Paul here, Paul is definitely somebody special. 2 Corinthians 12:7. This is Paul basically being exposed to something, and something that nobody else has been exposed to. Paul has had experiences that nobody else has had. Paul has been on cruises that nobody else has been on. Paul has traveled to places that nobody else has traveled. Paul has eaten Wagyu steak. Anybody else has eaten Wagyu steak? Is it Wagyu? You know I haven't eaten it. But I heard, has anybody in this room had Wagyu? Probably not. I mean, don't be embarrassed if you had Wagyu. Yeah, I'm just saying. Wagyu, raise your hand if you don't even know what Wagyu is. One, uno, dos, tres. Yeah, so those of us in this room, not me, that have experienced Wagyu, we're not better than you. Paul has had the privilege to be in TSA and had clear and be escorted to the front of the line. That don't make me, and I've had that privilege, that don't make me better than anybody. Amen. Paul has had the privilege to have experiences that some other people be exposed to, things that nobody else has been exposed to. Eating foods, riding Delta One, first class, VIP access from a stable family, a two-parent home. Everybody in your family is still here. Paul has experienced things that other people have not experienced. Paul is a Christian. Paul knows he's going to heaven. If you're in this room, you know you're going to heaven. Make some noise, clap your hands, say hallelujah, speak in tongues, whatever. I mean, you should. It's like this room just lit up, because you know I'm going somewhere else better than this place, because this place it seemed to be going to, don't say it, Alpheus, this place right here is going. It was a shooting 10 minutes from my house yesterday. And they shut down the whole mall. The mall may not even be open today. I mean, like, now you feel like you got to go places and you got to carry something. You got to conceal something. You got to carry something for your own safety. Amen? And so I know you want to go to heaven, but not yet. Everybody say, not yet. Yeah. Not yet. We got work to do. But Paul has been exposed to a lot. So in this passage here, this is an example of what he's been exposed to. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Or because of these surpassingly great experiences, revelations, Therefore, I know you've seen a lot. You've traveled to a bunch of countries. You've been on Malta. I've been good to you. If God has been good to you, raise your hand. God has been good to you. I know God has been good to you. But wait a minute. In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. In order to keep me from becoming what? Prideful. That's the cousin of conceited is the cousin of prideful. In order to keep me from being prideful, I was given, Paul, Alpheus, a thorn in my flesh. A thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to do what? To torment me. 3 times I asked God, God, listen, I don't really want to be tormented. I promise I'll be good. Anybody ever got a whooping from your mama? And right before the whooping, you say, Mama, don't whoop me. I promise I'll be good. You know you got yourself in some hot water. And you know you ain't really got a whooping until your mama has whooped you and you on the bike and she still get 5 licks in. I still don't know how she did that to this day. I'm coming from the street. I wasn't supposed to be up the street. I'm coming down the street. She come off behind of the church bus, which was huge, about the size of this church. Like, why? She come off behind the bus. I think she kind of went through the bus and had a switch in her hand. I don't know how she did that. She went through the bus because she came out of nowhere and she got 5 licks on me. I said, Mom, wait. And then she said, there's going to be more. I went in the house and I put on about 15 breeches and 5 shirts. And I said, Mom, I'll be good. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. And my other brother laughing at me. But you don't need to laugh. My mama would get 1 lick on you too when you laughing at me. Anyway, Paul's like, I don't want to be tormented. 3 times, God, I asked you to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. I love you enough, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. It seems like you're only closer to me when you're weak anyway. It seems like tribulations make you pray more. Ouch, Alpheus. It seems like when you don't have 5-star treatment, you call on me a little bit more. So my grace is sufficient. Therefore, I will boast, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. Somebody always has it worse than us. Amen. Somebody's always worse off than you. I will gladly now boast about my weakness because there is an alternative to where you are now. Amen? Don't have the car you want? Well, the alternative is not having a car at all. Don't have the house you want? The alternative is not having a house at all. Amen? So that Christ, well, I got a house in the air condition don't work. Well, the alternative is being outside on the streets and not even having a roof over your head from the elements. Amen. Yeah. Alpheus with your prideful self. So that Christ's power may rest on me. So what was Paul's thorn? I'm asking you to take it away. It was something metaphysical. It wasn't even something physical. Some say it may have been a sickness, something that was external. But the Bible says here, a messenger from Satan came to torment me. I looked at this years ago. A messenger brings what? He's trying to get in your head. He's trying to get in your head so you won't enjoy the blessing. New car and you can't enjoy the blessing. New wife, you can't enjoy the blessing. Finally, a peaceful season. Perhaps a new body, a new physical health. You're healthy physically, but you're not healthy mentally. It's like, man, can I just get a win and just enjoy the win? The enemy does not want you to. Is it the enemy that doesn't want you to enjoy the win? Rewind. The Bible says, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Who wants us not to be conceited? The devil or God? So you mean to tell me that perhaps what I'm experiencing is allowed by God to balance me? Paul concluded that this thorn was humble pie. God, I'll be good. Everybody say, God, I'll be good. I don't. Everybody say, God, I'll be good. I'm gonna act right. I'm gonna be level-headed. I'm gonna be level-hearted. Paul concluded that this thorn was humble pie. Because why would Satan, the father of pride, want Paul to be humble? Because it kind of cancels itself out. Write this down. God wants us to be bold in the kingdom, yet balanced with grace. So it's a hallelujah with humility. God does something for you, hallelujah, but be humble about it. Amen? Thank you, God, but be humble about it. Satan wants to pervert, though, your experiences, your mountaintop experience. Since he can't get the credit for it, he can't get the credit for it for you having a family that's whole, a marriage that's still thriving, a church that's still here. The church is not full, but we ain't closed. Amen? He don't want, well, such and such is not here. Such and such is not here. Well, the alternative is we're not even having service at all. And nobody's here. Amen? God is still going to fill this church up with people because we're going to meet the needs of the city. You should have clapped right there. I'm the only one with vision. He's still going to fill the church up. People are still going to get saved. The homeless are still going to be served. College students are going to still be served. He wants to distract us. He wants to pervert the mountaintop experience since he can't get the credit for it. Makes sense. So did Paul really have a pride problem? Alpheus, why do you say Paul had a pride problem? Some people always say, I need to watch what I'm eating. I've said that for 45 years. In the positive and in the negative. I need to watch what I'm eating because I'm excited to eat. And then, Sarah, you came on a good day. You said, I'm always talking about food. I just shouted that out for you. Some say, I need to work out to get stronger. I'm almost finished. But Paul is always talking about and emphasizing and communicating being balanced in the head. Let's look at Paul's head and not his hand. In 1 Corinthians 9, he says, but I, Paul, Alpheus, discipline my body and make it my slave. Lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Here is being fair and balanced. The Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12 says, Paul is saying, I must go on boasting. That's a hint right there. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will boast about a man like that. I will not boast about myself like I didn't boast about my tie today. Amen. Except about my weakness. Even if I choose to boast, I would not be a fool because my tie really looks good today. And that's the truth. I'm trying to bring it home the best I can. Paul says, you know, I got a lot to boast about. God has been good to me. I am anointed. I've healed people. So I wouldn't be talking falsely. He said, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. The truth is you have a healthy marriage. The truth is you have a peace of mind. The truth is you are content with yourself, being a loner. But I refrain so no one would think more of me. That's some discipline. Some discipline. There is, and I'm only lifting this. I got to preface this. I'm only lifting this because I'm lifting this for two reasons. Because we're talking about pride. And I'm only lifting this to prove a point, if I even lift it. So I was talking to a friend this week or last week, a couple people, and it has come up that they are in school, back in school or in school, getting their PhD and getting their master's or something. And it's like, I had to refrain. I didn't lift it. I didn't lift what I'm about to lift. If I lift it, I think you're going to catch the hint because I'm probably not going to lift it. And I refrain from telling them my journey right now that I said I would never, ever, ever do. And the reason why I didn't lift it, because kind of similar to Paul, I refrain so no one would think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. They say, I'm such and such, working on my another degree. I'm going to graduate in a year, working on my master's. For some odd reason, I'm in a master program. I'm getting my master's right now. And y'all need to pray, if anything, that I don't quit. Because I hate school, and I'm back in school. And I sat in this pulpit and told y'all, if I ever, y'all ever hear me going back to get my master's, it's not of God. And I'm going back and get my master's. And I'm paying to do it! So I didn't lift my journey. When somebody tells you good news and you don't share, you don't try to one-up them and tell them, you know, your good news, that's what Paul is talking about. That's really dealing with pride. Makes sense? He says, I buffet. I basically discipline my body. So let me end it like this. I think y'all get the punchline. He says, 3 times I sought the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient. God told him no. God is telling us no every single day when we wake up with that situation. I keep praying, though, but don't be surprised at the no, because no will save your life and keep you close to God. Everybody say no. Thank God for the no's. So then, saying no to grace is to say no to God's plan and keep you grounded. So we should refrain from saying, God, take it away. Take it away, God. Just, you're going to lose that battle. God, fix it now. Fix it now. And it's not fixed. What's happening? God is telling us no. He has told me no 1,200,000 times. You hear, it's just like, God, are you hearing me? And I'm like, Lex, are we okay? Because if we're not okay, God is not hearing my prayers. She said, we okay? Well, why is God telling me no? let's consider shifting our prayers. Now, I don't know what you should pray. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. But perhaps God's plan is to keep you grounded. If you win some and you what? You learn some. Perhaps God is trying to teach us something in this season. Because grace is not afraid of your infirmities. Y'all have already read it probably. Or your idiosyncrasies, your weaknesses. Grace, my grace is sufficient. God says, my grace is sufficient. God says, my grace is sufficient. No, my grace is sufficient. No, you can't. My grace is sufficient. No, I'm not going to do it right now because my grace is sufficient. No, you need to grow in the season. No, my grace is sufficient. No, you need to be close to me and that other family member this season. No, my grace is sufficient. So look at somebody and say, let grace save your life. Clap hands if you. I'll stop right there. If you enjoyed this teaching, Michelle was here next week. We may shake off everything that don't supposed to be the rest of the year. Amen. It's a lot. Sometimes we got a lot to shake off. Amen. But obviously today, we were talking about shaking off pride. Amen. Now I tried to make a case for it because God hates a proud look. And I don't look in the mirror a lot. I don't look in the mirror a lot because there's a lot of gray hairs. And then I put the pencil on my hairs a lot these days. Alfie's, why do you do that? Because I don't want to be perceived a certain way. Well, why do you don't want to be perceived a certain way? That sounds like the P word to me. Amen. And so to avoid verse 15 is hard to do, and it can show up in so many different ways. I mean, but if God does not like a proud look, he doesn't want you to be proud. He doesn't even like the smell of proud. He doesn't like arrogancy. He doesn't like it when you choose another way other than his way. We got to avoid that at all costs. Amen. Christians, do we celebrate Pride Month? Absolutely, 1,000% no. Do we affirm? Absolutely, 100% no. Why don't you affirm? Because you should love. Don't you love me? That's not the affirmation or affirming your lifestyle or your behavior is not the definition of love. Love is telling you the truth. Amen. Love is telling you the truth. Even if you close the Bible, the lifestyle of what Pride Month represents, it can be confronted with without the Bible. When we pick up the Bible, though, it's more ammunition not to condemn, but it's more ammunition to tell the truth. The Bible says, tell the truth in love. You have to have truth in your heart to tell the truth. Am I making sense? So if there's no truth in your heart, you can't tell the truth in love. Hey, you're spiraling out of control. This is not the lifestyle for you. You're going to hurt yourself. It's just not logical. And so so in this month, be encouraged not to feel the pressure to align with something that's not true, that's not healthy. Amen.